My dear brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, we purpose this morning to prepare our minds to partake of the emblems of love by considering the prophet Jeremiah and the prophecy which he caused to be written. When we turn to the first chapter of the prophecy of Jeremiah, we find that the prophecy is introduced to us as being the words of Jeremiah, the son of Hilkiah, of the priests that were in Anathoth in the land of Benjamin. Now, if we turn to the first book of Kings and the second chapter, we find the town of Anathoth is mentioned in the reign of David. And in the 26th verse, in the reign of Solomon. And in the 26th verse, we find that Solomon commanded Abiathar the priest, saying, "Get thee to Anathoth, unto thine own fields, for thou art worthy of death. But I will not at this time put thee to death, because thou bearest the ark of Yahweh before David." Now, from this we learn that Anathoth was the dwelling place of the household of Abiathar and of the priests of the line of Eli. And therefore, in this manner, the words of the prophecy of Samuel came to pass. And for this reason, that Jeremiah dwelt at Anathoth, and because of the wording of Hilkiah being not the priest or the high priest, but of the priests, we suppose that Jeremiah was of the household of Abiathar rather than of the household of Zadok, and he was therefore not the son of the Hilkiah, who was the high priest of the reign of Josiah, in whose days Jeremiah commenced his prophetic ministry. We know, brothers and sisters, that Jeremiah prophesied for a very long period of time. He commenced his prophecy in the reign of Josiah, that good king that reigned over Judah. And he prophesied for upwards of 41 years and 6 months through to the end of the reign of Zedekiah. And when we therefore read the words of his prophecy, we have to bear in mind that the prophet is sometimes speaking as a very young man, and sometimes we are reading the words of an old man, of an old prophet, still ministering after 40 years. To his nation. Now, when we investigate the life and the times of Jeremiah, and I'd like you now to turn to the second book of Kings and chapter 22, where we have the prophetic the record of the reign of Josiah. We find that certain men are mentioned in the history of the kings of Israel and of the kings of Judah, who are also mentioned in the prophecy of Jeremiah. And our consideration of this will bring lessons which are for our admonition and our learning. Now, in the second book of Kings, in chapter 22 and verse 12, we come to the time when Josiah had been brought into contact through Hilkiah the high priest and Shaphan the scribe with the book of the law. And in verse 12, the king commanded Hilkiah the priest and Ahikam the son of Shaphan and Achbor the son of Micaiah and Shaphan the scribe and Asaiah a servant of the king, saying, "Go ye, inquire of Yahweh for me and for the people and for all Judah concerning the words of this book that is found." And so we find that faithful men amongst whom was Ahikam, the son of Shaphan the scribe, who had been instrumental in bringing the book of the law to the attention of the king, was sent to the prophetess to find out the word of Yahweh concerning the destiny of the kingdom of Judah. And when we then return to Jeremiah's prophecy in chapter 26, we find that these men are associated with Jeremiah during his prophecy. We come to a time where Jeremiah is haranguing before the court of Judah in Jerusalem, and the princes of Judah wish to put him to death. And in the last verse of this chapter, we find that the hand of a powerful prince was behind Jeremiah, and he delivered him from death. Nevertheless, the hand of Ahikam, the son of Shaphan, was with Jeremiah, that they should not give him into the hand of the people to put him to death. And when we turn to today's reading, in the 39th chapter of Jeremiah, we find that when the city was broken up and the fate of Jeremiah was decided upon, he was committed, verse 14, into the hand of Gedaliah, the son of Ahikam, the son of Shaphan. And this prince, Gedaliah, the son of Ahikam, who had delivered Jeremiah from death, the grandson of Shaphan, who had delivered the book of the law, this man, Gedaliah, was the man whom Jeremiah chose as his protector, a prince who commanded immense respect amongst the common people. And so we find that grandfather, father and son were there associated with Jeremiah during his prophecy. And if we turn to the second book of Chronicles and chapter 34, we shall find a similar association. Here we have the record of Josiah commanding repairs to be made to the house of Yahweh. And in verse 8 of the second of Chronicles chapter 34, we find that in the 18th year of Josiah's reign, when he had purged the land and the house, he sent Shaphan, the son of Azaliah, and Maaseiah, the governor of the city, and Johah, the son of Joash, the recorder, to repair the house of Yahweh his Elohim. And so faithful men, amongst whom was Maaseiah, were sent to oversee the repair of the temple. Now, when we return to Jeremiah's prophecy in chapter 32, we find that Jeremiah associated himself with the descendants of Maaseiah. Jeremiah chapter 32 and verse 12. I gave evidence unto the purchase of Barak, the son of Neriah, the son of Maaseiah, in the sight of Hananiah, mine uncle's son. And we find in the prophecy that Barak, the grandson of Maaseiah, was a scribe and a disciple of Jeremiah. And again in chapter 51 and verse 59, we find that this man Barak had a brother who too was a disciple of Jeremiah's. Verse 59 of Jeremiah 51. The word which Jeremiah the prophet commanded Sariah the son of Neriah, the son of Maaseiah, when he went with Zedekiah the king of Judah into Babylon. And the lesson in all this, brothers and sisters, is that Jeremiah was only a young man when he commenced prophesying, but from the days of his youth he associated himself with faithful men in Israel, and he maintained fellowship with faithful men in Israel and succeeding generations of faithful men until he was an old man. Because Israel wasn't like the ecclesia of today. In the days of Israel, you were born, brothers and sisters, and circumcised on the eighth day into the Abrahamic covenant, and you were born into it. It's not like today where there is a where Yahweh is calling out of the people, out of the Gentiles, a people for his name, and our children may by the grace of God be called, or they may not. In Israel, they were born into it. They were circumcised the eighth day, and they were either faithful men or they were evil men. And Jeremiah associated throughout his life and fellowshiped faithful families in Israel. And this, brothers and sisters, presents a strong lesson for us, because it teaches us that from the days of our youth, we should not seek the company or the pleasures of the world, but that we should seek the company and the stimulation that comes from meeting with those of like precious faith. As Solomon says in the Proverbs, he that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but the companion of fools shall be destroyed. And so there is a lesson to love not the things that are in the world, nor they that are in the world, but to love the things that belong to Israel's hope and those that have Abraham's faith. Furthermore, brothers and sisters, we have to appreciate the force of the analogy, because the choice with Jeremiah was not whether to associate with Israelites or Chaldeans. His choice wasn't whether to associate with the ecclesia, as it were, in the world, but his choice was as to who he was going to fellowship in the midst of an apostate nation. And so he's choosing amongst members of the Abrahamic faith, as was supposed. And therefore, brothers and sisters, we have to bear in mind that if there is unsoundness in the ecclesia, we are called upon to choose those of like precious faith. In other words, as Paul says, to shun profane and vain babblings. Now, before we look at the prophecy of Jeremiah proper, brothers and sisters, we turn to the writings of Moses now, and to the 18th chapter of Jeremiah, where deity through the hand of Moses gave useful guidance to Israel, which comes down to our day, concerning whether a prophet can be trusted. Deuteronomy chapter 18 and verse 22. When a prophet speaketh in the name of Yahweh, if the thing follow not, nor come to pass, that is the thing which Yahweh hath not spoken, but the prophet that hath spoken it presumptuously, thou shalt not be afraid of him. And so there was a test given as to whether the words were true. And we know that in the matter of Hananiah, in the 28th of Jeremiah, this test was applied to Jeremiah and to Hananiah, and Hananiah was found to be a false prophet. And this test is capable, and was capable, as I say, of being applied to the prophecy of Jeremiah. Because when we go to chapter 1 of Jeremiah's prophecy, we are told about a characteristic of his prophetic mission to the house of Israel. In verse 11, we find that the word comes to him, and he says, Jeremiah, what seest thou? And I said, I see a rod of an almond tree. Then said Yahweh unto me, thou hast seen well, for I will hasten my word to perform it. And in the original tongue in which the scripture was written, there is a play on words here, because the word translated almond and the word translated hasten are similar in sound. They sound the same when they are spoken. The meaning of the word almond in Hebrew has a connection with hasty because it was one of the first trees to come into blossom during the year. And we therefore see that Jeremiah's prophecy, the force of his prophecy, was not concerning a distant generation, but the words that Jeremiah spoke were going to be hastily performed. And this was brought home to the prophet when we find in the 16th chapter he was commanded, "Thou shalt not take a wife, neither shall they have sons or daughters in this place. For thus saith Yahweh concerning the sons and the daughters that are born in this place, and concerning their mothers that bear them, and concerning their fathers that begat them in this land, they shall die of grievous deaths." In other words, the prophecy of destruction which he saw was nigh at hand. Yahweh was going to hasten his word to perform it. And this was the divine purpose in sending the prophet. He was sent so that people could see his words coming to pass and know therefore that he was a prophet and sent from God, and therefore take on board the moral teaching which that prophet taught in the midst of great apostasy. And it is important, brothers and sisters, to realise that this is the divine way. This is the divine purpose in God sending not just the prophet Jeremiah, but sending all of his prophets. He sent them so that the generation which they spoke to might know what was coming upon them, and they might be caused to heed the words of the prophecy. So that when Jesus stood on the Mount Olivet and he said, "When ye see the abomination of desolate standing where it ought not, then let him that readeth," the prophet Daniel, "understand. There's the sign, you can understand it. Do something about it. Flee if you're in Judea. If you happen to be in Judea, flee into the mountains, because the legions of Rome will slay you if you don't." And so it was that Jesus came as a prophet to his nation, and they were able to test what he said and then change their minds and repent and be baptized into his saving name. But brothers and sisters, the importance to us is to realize that the apocalypse of Jesus Christ was given in the style of Jeremiah and of the Old Testament prophets. Because when we turn to the first words of the apocalypse, we find that it was written concerning things which must shortly come to pass. In other words, Yahweh was going to hasten his word to perform it. And generations of brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, from the days of the apostles, have been able to come to this prophecy and know that it was a prophecy concerning things which must shortly come to pass, and therefore have an expectation of the return, of the imminent return of Jesus Christ to this earth, which we all long and hope for. It was never given, brothers and sisters, that clever men may see into the future and predict things which have not yet come to pass upon the earth. But it was given that those of Abrahamic faith may consider the words of the prophecy and discern the signs of the times and know the age in which they live, and because of the way in which it was written, that they may be presented in each generation with a vision of those glorious things which belong to Israel's hope. Now, this message was committed to the hand of Jeremiah, a message of the destruction of Jerusalem, was going to draw him into conflict with the rulers of his day. And therefore Jeremiah was told at the outset of his ministry in chapter 1 and verse 17, "Gird up thy loins and arise and speak unto all them that I command thee, and be not dismayed at their faces, lest I confound thee before them. For behold, I have made thee this day a defence city, an iron pillar, a brazen wall against the whole land, against the kings of Judah, against the princes thereof, and against the priests thereof, and against the people of this land. They shall fight against thee, But they shall not prevail against thee. For I am with thee, saith Yahweh, to deliver thee. And what words of comfort these were, brothers and sisters. God will never ever forsake the man that puts his trust in him. We know not the fate of Ebed-Melech, but we know that God was with him for the work that he accomplished, and God would never have forsaken him, and he never forsook Jeremiah throughout all his trials and tribulations, as we shall see. Now, let's turn to the 11th chapter of Jeremiah and see what happened when Jeremiah delivered this terrible message to the nation. Now, when we come to Jeremiah chapter 11, I think that you will appreciate that we are seeing things which were happening in the reign of Josiah. Because you know what happened in the reign of Josiah? The book of the law was found. And let's have a look at what Jeremiah says in chapter 11. The word that came to Jeremiah from Yahweh saying, "Hear ye the words of this covenant." Well, they'd found the book of the covenant. And now Yahweh was proclaiming it through his prophet. "Hear ye the words of this covenant to proclaim unto the men of Judah, the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and say unto them, Thus saith Adonai Yahweh of Israel, cursed be the man that obeyeth not the words of this covenant." Where is he quoting from? But from the book of the covenant, from Deuteronomy. And so it was that Jeremiah was sent, in verse 6, proclaim all these words in the cities of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem, saying, "Hear ye the words of this covenant and do them." And so he was sent proclaiming the book of Moses' covenant. And they didn't like it, brothers and sisters. They didn't like it one bit. And something was revealed to Jeremiah, and the thing was revealed that made him a type of him whom we have come to remember. Verse 18, "Yahweh hath given me knowledge of it, and I know it. Then thou showedst me their doings." And so God revealed to Jeremiah what the rulers of the land were purposing to do to him. "But I was like a lamb or an ox that is brought to the slaughter. And I knew not that they had devised devices against me, saying, Let us destroy the tree with the fruit thereof, and let us cut him off from the land of the living, that his name may be no more remembered. But, O Yahweh of hosts, that judgest righteously, that triest the reins and the heart, let me see thy vengeance on them, for unto thee have I revealed my cause. Therefore thus saith Yahweh of the men of Anathoth," and these were the priests, brothers and sisters, with whom Jeremiah was brought up, "Prophesy not in the name of Yahweh, that thou die not by our hand. Therefore thus saith Yahweh of hosts, behold, I will punish them. The young men shall die by the sword, their sons shall die, and their daughters shall die by the famine. And there shall be no remnant of them, for I will bring evil upon the men of Anathoth, even the year of their visitation." And in this manner, brothers and sisters, Jeremiah prefigured the sufferings of our beloved Lord and Master. First of all, we find in verse 21 that his life was sought by the priesthood of his day. And this was true of Jesus. His life was sought by the chief priests, and Pilate knew that it was for envy that the priests and the rulers had delivered him unto them. We find in verse 19 that he was like a lamb or an ox that is brought to the slaughter. And this reminds us of the 53rd chapter of Jeremiah, where Jeremiah saw a vision of Christ in his sufferings. "He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shears is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth." We find in verse 19 that they said, "Let us cut him off from the land of the living." And what did Isaiah prophesied concerning Jesus? "He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. We find also in verse 19 of Jeremiah 11 that they said that his name may be no more remembered. And what was it, if we turn to the Acts of the Apostles in chapter 4, that the chief priests and the Sanhedrin tried to do? They tried to make it so that the name of Jesus should no more be remembered. Acts chapter 4 and verse 16. What shall we do to these men? For that indeed a notable miracle hath been done by them is manifest to all that dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. That it spread no further among the people, let us straitly threaten them, that they speak henceforth to no man in this name. And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, or to teach in the name of Jesus. And so it was that they sought to erase the memory of the name of Jesus from the minds of Israel. And how foolish, brothers and sisters, for Jesus is the memorial that was of the divine name. He who will be salvation. It is the memorial unto all generations. Every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall swear to the Yahweh name in Jerusalem one day. The name that is born by Jesus. And how is it therefore possible for man to say that it should no more be remembered? But this is what they tried to do. Jeremiah also had foreknowledge of his fate. He knew that what the priesthood was trying to do. And so it was Jesus, as we shall read tomorrow, knew of his fate. She has come beforehand to anoint my body for the burial, were the words that he uttered in the house of Simon the leper shortly before Passover. Now, brothers and sisters, this bitter persecution had a reaction in Jeremiah. And what was that reaction, brothers and sisters? Well, it's the reaction that we should all have, because in verse 1 of chapter 12 we find that he prays. And this is the reaction that all the men of God should have when we find ourselves in times of adversity. Righteous art thou, O Yahweh, when I plead with thee, yet let me talk with thee of thy judgments. Wherefore doth the way of the wicked prosper? Wherefore are all they happy that deal very treacherously? And we therefore find, brothers and sisters, that Jeremiah couldn't understand this, and he committed it to prayer. And he was a man of prayer, brothers and sisters. If we go to Jeremiah chapter 16, we shall find, chapter 14, we shall find that he was at one time instructed not to pray for the people, for their good. And so he was in the habit of praying for the people of Israel. In chapter 32, we find a beautiful expression used. Behold, he says in verse 17, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy great power and stretched out arm, and there is nothing too hard for thee. And this is the strength of Jeremiah's faith as he interceded for the nation. There is nothing too hard for thee. And does it not remind us, brothers and sisters, of the words which our beloved Apostle Paul speaks in Ephesians chapter 3? Because in the third chapter of Ephesians, he says, now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the Ecclesia by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. And this is one of the petitions that Paul made. To know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all fullness of God, unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. And Jeremiah knew this because he prays, "There is nothing too hard for thee." And we, brothers and sisters, ought to have the conviction that was shared by Jeremiah. We know that John writes in his epistle, "This is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us." And by way of example, brothers and sisters, we know that when Jesus was at Cana of Galilee, and there was a nobleman's son sick about 20 miles away at Capernaum, he healed him. And can we not deem, brothers and sisters, that the hand of Christ is not shortened to heal from heaven if it is according to his will? There is nothing too difficult for the power that has saved us all. And so Jeremiah committed these things to prayer, and he was given an answer which must have struck fear into him. Jeremiah chapter 12 and verse 5. "If thou hast run with a footman, and they have wearied thee, then how canst thou contend with horses?" And we have to begin to interpret the words that were given to him, because signs and symbols begin to be used. "If thou hast run with the footmen and they have wearied thee, how canst thou contend with horses? If thou hast run with the men of Anathoth and they have wearied thee in that small town, how canst thou contend with the horses of Jerusalem, the mighty princes? And if the land of peace wherein thou trusted, they have wearied thee, how wilt thou do in the swelling of Jordan? If in the days of peace in Josiah's reign they have wearied thee, how wilt thou do in the swelling of Jordan?" In other words, when Jordan swelled, brothers and sisters, and overflowed its banks, the rushes that grew there were the dwelling place of many a lion, and the lions came up from the swelling of Jordan and afflicted the villages of Israel. How would he do when the lion of the king of Babylon came to break the bones of Zedekiah? But, brothers and sisters, Jeremiah would have always had those words in his mind: "They shall fight against thee, but they shall not prevail against thee, for I am with thee." And he will never leave us, brothers and sisters, or forsake us, if we put our trust in him. Now, if we turn to yesterday's reading, we shall find that these things were brought to an ultimate test when he was cast into a pit or a cistern that had been emptied because of the straitness of the situation that was in Jeremiah in Jerusalem in the days of Zedekiah, in the ninth year of his reign. And we find in Jeremiah chapter 38 that Jeremiah had now been cast into a dungeon. Verse 6: "They took Jeremiah and cast him into the dungeon of Malchiah the son of Hammelech, that was in the court of the prison, and they let down Jeremiah with cords. And in the dungeon there was no water but mire, and so Jeremiah sunk in the mire." And it's still fresh in our minds, brothers and sisters, if we do our readings every day, as we should, that Ebed-Melech the Ethiopian, one of the eunuchs, went and he petitioned the weak-minded king. He pointed out to him that Jeremiah was going to die of hunger because there was no bread in the city. And the king commanded in verse 10, "Take 30 men with thee and take up Jeremiah the prophet out of the dungeon before he die." So Ebed-Melech took the men with him and went into the house of the king under the treasury, and took thence old cast clouts and old rotten rags, and led them down by cords into the dungeon to Jeremiah. And we know, as it says in verse 13, that they drew Jeremiah with cords and took him up out of the dungeon and Jeremiah remained in the court of the prison, where he would have been given a daily allowance of bread to eat and not therefore die of hunger. Here we've got an old prophet, brothers and sisters, who have been prophesying for perhaps 39 years, something of that order. And this is what they did to him, to an old man. And in this perhaps ultimate of the sufferings of Jeremiah, we see again that he prefigured the sufferings of Christ, whom we have come to remember. Because this drawing up out of the dungeon, out of the pit, in which there was no water, only mire, is emblematic to us of the resurrection of our Lord and Master, and indeed of our deliverance out of the pit of corruption. And I suppose this is brought to us, brothers and sisters, when we consider the meaning of the name Jeremiah, because his name means he who shall be shall rise. And so it was certainly prophetic of the resurrection of Jesus. Let's conclude by looking at the scriptures which touch upon this subject. And I'd like you first of all to turn to the 40th Psalm, where we find that the psalmist prophesies before the days of Jeremiah. And so we have to remember when we read this psalm that Jeremiah, being a priest and being a man of God, would have had an immense knowledge of the Psalms of Israel, that he too would have drawn comfort from these words. Psalm 40. I waited patiently for Yahweh, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. And this is messianic, brothers and sisters. We're not looking at a prophet who was instructed not to intercede for the people, and who was later told that if it was it Samuel and Nor stood before me, I would not hear them. We are looking at a prophecy concerning the Advocate, Jesus Christ the righteous, whom his heavenly Father will always hear when he pleads our cause. And that is, brothers and sisters, a statement of the strength of the advocacy of Christ when we pray through our mediator. He inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. Typical, as I say, and prophetic of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And that it relates to our beloved Master, we see from the 6th, 7th and 8th verses, which are familiar to us all as being applied by Paul in Hebrews to the body of Christ. Psalm 30 and verse 1 and 2. I cried unto me, thou hast healed me, thou hast brought up my soul from the grave, and hast kept me alive, that I should not go down to the pit. Again, the psalmist prophesies through the mouth of David concerning the resurrection of Jesus, and likens it to be drawn out of a pit, just as Joseph, so many centuries before, was rescued out of a pit wherein there was no water. And there was no water in the pit wherein Jeremiah was, as it says in the record. And again, in the 142nd Psalm, we find a similar prophecy, Psalm 142 and verse 6. Attend unto my cry, for I am brought very low. Deliver me from my persecutors, for they are stronger than I. Bring my soul out of prison, that I may praise thy name. The righteous shall compass me about, for thou shalt deal bountifully with me. And we know, brothers and sisters, that Jesus has been brought out of the prison house of death, and one day he'll be compassed round with that cloud of witnesses when he sits in Jerusalem and reigns, confounding the sun and moon as he reigns before his ancients gloriously. The righteous shall compass me about. Let's have a look at the prophecy of Isaiah and chapter 51. Isaiah 51 and verse 14. The captive exile hasteneth that he may be loosed, and that he should not die in the pit, nor that his bread should fail. And we see Jeremiah in the pit, starving of hunger, as a captive. And it is true also, brothers and sisters, of us. We were once captive to sin and death. And we've been loosed from the bands of sin and death. We've passed from death unto life. And our bread now, brothers and sisters, will never fail because we have the word of life to sustain us. And though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, his rod, the word of life, is always there to guard and to protect us. The analogy becomes even stronger, brothers and sisters, when we go to the prophecy of Zechariah and the 9th chapter. The prophet here, in spirit, addresses the Christ, and he says in verse 11 of Zechariah 9, "As for thee also, by the blood of thy covenant, I have sent forth thy prisoners out of the pit, wherein is no water. Turn you to the stronghold, ye prisoners of hope. Even today do I declare that I will render double unto thee." And we, brothers and sisters, have been redeemed by blood. We've been redeemed by the blood of Abraham's covenant that was spilt upon the cross as our master hung and suffered there. And we've been taken out of the pit of corruption where there is no water, the prospect is only death. And we have now turned to the stronghold, to the saving name, that we too might have redemption. And we're not like the world, brothers and sisters, we're prisoners of hope. For we hope one day that these vile bodies shall be changed and made like unto his glorious body. Let's return to Isaiah in chapter 42, where we can consider the theme once more. Isaiah chapter 42 and verse 6. "I, Yahweh, have called thee in righteousness." This is the calling of Jesus. "And will hold thine hand, and will keep thee, and give thee for the covenant of the people, and for the light of the Gentiles." And we, brothers and sisters, have seen that light, the true light which came into the world. And what effect has it happened? To open the blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from the prison, and to them that sit in darkness, out of the prison house. And so, brothers and sisters, we have felt that darkness of Egypt. Gross darkness has covered this land and its peoples, but we, brothers and sisters, by the grace of God, have been brought into covenant relationship. We have seen in the eye of faith him who has been given as a covenant for the people, whose blood in emblem we're about to partake of, and we're being brought out of that prison house, that we should have that prospect of reigning with him in Zion. And finally, brothers and sisters, chapter 49 of Isaiah's prophecy and verse 8. "Thus saith Yahweh, in an acceptable time have I heard thee, and in the day of salvation have I helped thee, and I will preserve thee, and give thee for a covenant of the people, to establish the earth, to cause to inherit the desolate heritages." And so it was, brothers and sisters, that Jesus forth was sent forth under the law, made of a woman, to confirm the promises made unto the fathers, "that thou mayest say to the prisoners, go forth. To them that are in darkness, show yourselves. They shall feed in the ways, and in their pastures shall be in all high places. They shall not hunger nor thirst, neither shall the heat nor the sun smite them. For the he that hath mercy on them shall lead them, even by the springs of waters shall he guide them. And we, brothers and sisters, as I say, have been prisoners in the land of darkness. But we have been taken from that prison house, and we have been put in a position like Jeremiah was, where we shall not hunger or thirst, where there is bread to eat, because we have this word to sustain us. And we notice the words, for he that hath mercy on them shall live.